All right, as we continue in our Ten Commandments series, Set Free to Live Free, I invite you to turn right away with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 20. We'll get to our verse in just a moment. The Ten Commandments, we have also called them the Ten Words, as they are found in the book of Exodus. And words 1 through 4 frame for us the section of the Ten Commandments where we talk about, or they talk about, loving God. So words number 1 through 4 talk about loving God. And as we get to word number 5 this morning, word number 5 is what we call the second positive command in the 10 words. And it starts the second section or second part of the 10 words, which is to love people. So love God, and then word number 5 starts us off with the second section of the 10 commandments where we're called to love people. And I just want you to know right from the beginning as we talk about word number 5, I did not come to faith in Jesus Christ. I did not become a follower of Christ till I was a teenager, did not grow up in a Christian home. And so when I first was introduced to Christ and started to attending church on a regular basis, I remember early on I was very in tune to whenever the pastor would go to this particular verse we're going to go to, especially if I was sitting next to my mom, or if they went to other passages that we're going to look at. But I was always a little bit nervous because I didn't really always fulfill very, very well the word number 5. So I want you to know I speak from a little bit of flashback moments from word number 5, but let's look at that together, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Word number 5 is this: honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Here's word number 5: honor mom and dad. Honor mom and dad. And I want you to know right from the beginning, right from the start here, that honor mom and dad is not just related to the young people and kids or young adults that are in the room. It applies to everybody in the room, and we'll talk about that. But word number 5 is honor mom and dad, and here's the kind of the phrase underneath it. Why should we honor mom and dad? Because parents are the first people to love. Think about it. Parents are the first people to love. For most of you in this room, the first people that you interact with on a regular basis, on a daily basis, once God brought you into this world, were your parents. They are the first people to love, and it's on purpose that God has put them first in line when it comes to loving people. Because I'm here to tell you, let's make it into a bumper sticker, parents are people too. Parents are people too. And I believe on purpose, because of the importance, the first people we are to honor and love are our parents. Now, as we move from loving God to loving people, I think it's important to look at the transition of how we get from this point to this point, how we move from the first section of the 10 words to the second section. So I'm going to give you some what I call transition statements about moving from loving God to loving people. Here's the first one. Loving God is our duty to the Creator. Loving people is our duty to the created ones. So this is a natural transition from words 1 through 4 to word number 5, from loving God to loving people. It must start with the Creator, loving the Creator, and then we love the created ones. And I'm not talking about the whales and the snails, even though I have nothing against whales and snails. Because the greatest jewel, the crown jewel of creation are you and me. We are the crown jewel of creation. So God says, I want you to first love the Creator, love me as the Creator, and then love my created ones. That's what we need to move from, Creator to created ones. And they work hand in hand with each other in this transition. Because if you truly love God, you will be drawn to love people. And as you truly love and honor people, even parents, you are loving God. And if you don't love people and you don't love your parents, you're not really honoring and loving God. And you can't say I'm truly loving and honoring God if I don't love my parents. They work hand in hand. Here's the second transition statement. The first arena we encounter loving people is with our parents. Just a reminder again, that's the incubator for loving people is our parents. Young people, teenagers, young adults, even as we get older, the opportunity, the first arena to show and demonstrate loving people is our parents. Yay. Here's the third transition statement. A person's relationship to his parents addresses an authority higher than himself, and that authority should be respected in a similar fashion to God. Your parents are not in the same authority level with God, but they're higher than you if you're a child or a son or a daughter. They do have a position of authority that should be respected. So even as we go through different situations where we learn to love other people, the highest authority within the realm of loving people has been given by God in order, your parents. So they should have similar respect as you would give to God. And that changes the game, folks. It really does. So word number five is honor mom and dad. And we are told to honor mom and dad in both the Old Testament and again in the New Testament. Because we said in this series, the relevance of the 10 words is that they are repeated and commanded and for us again. They're relevant for us again in the New Testament. And I think the best way to start with honor mom and dad is to define the word honor by looking at it Old Testament and New Testament. Let's talk about what honor really means. Back to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. It says, honor your father and your mother. In the Hebrew, the Old Testament word for honor here has three phrases I want to give you, or three words I want to give you that I thought were very interesting. First of all, that word means heavy. Heavy. I thought, okay. And then it means weighty. And then it means significant. So I was puzzled a little bit in my mind as I was thinking about how does heavy and weighty and significant relate to honoring your father and your mother? Well, in the Hebrew language, and even in Exodus chapter 12, it's looking at it in two ways. Honor father and mother is this. To be a parent is a weighty thing. It's a heavy thing. It's a daunting responsibility. But it's also a position that should be honored and respected because it's so significant. So that word honor, heavy, weighted, significant, honoring mom and dad is a really heavy, weighted, and significant thing to be practicing when we love people. So we can't really just kind of set this off and go, it's one of those ones that parents will find in the Bible. It's not really that important. No, it's a pretty big deal when we say honor mom and dad. And then Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, you don't have to turn there. I'll have you turn there in a couple minutes here. But Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, honor your father and mother. The Greek word for honor here is this, to assign value. To assign value. I didn't give this assignment in the first service. Maybe I should have. Maybe I'll just give it to you guys, make you feel special. If you are a child or a young adult, or even if you have older parents that you can interact with, you maybe need to tell them right now, or if they're in the room, or today, you are valuable. Why don't we have them practice? Any kids in the room, why don't you just turn to your parents and say, you are valuable. They're saying it so softly. You're valuable. So honoring mom and dad is to assign value to them. So let me take the Old Testament and New Testament definitions of the word honor and give you one combined definition of what it means to honor mom and dad. Here it is. To honor mom and dad is to assign worth to the notable person and position called parent. Why is word number five so powerful? Because it's not only a weighty and heavy responsibility, but because that person who is called a parent is worthy of this honor as a person and the position. And I hope you don't think that we don't need to be reminded of this in the culture that we live in. If you think we have it down as far as honoring our parents, then you just need to make a trip to the grocery store. Just wander through the aisles and watch the interaction when somebody doesn't get what they want. Or just the way they talk to their parents. So honoring mom and dad, assigning value. So based on the meaning of the word honor, word number five is serious business. It really is. It's serious business that comes with consequences when we dishonor and when we honor. There are consequences. I think you know that. But I want you to think about this when you think about consequences in the Bible. Because too often when we think about consequences in the Bible, we only think about that 2x4 mentality. That God's up there with a 2x4, and here are the consequences if you don't do this. But consequences in the Bible have two important purposes. One is to warn, but the other is to motivate. The warning is, this is what's going to happen to you. The motivation is, this is what's going to happen to you if you fulfill it positively. So it's both things. You need to look at it positively. I don't really remember too many times after I became a follower of Christ hearing a message on honor your parents that was positive in any way, shape, or form. It was always about the 2x4. And there is a warning with this, but there's also the positive nature of honoring your parents. The positive nature of that. There are some honoring consequences both found in the Old Testament and New Testament. And I want to just talk about a few of these different consequences. Exodus chapter 20 again. Let me read the whole passage, or the whole verse for you. Exodus 20:12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." So there's a promise there. The promise was to the people of Israel, the children of Israel, that as you move into the promised land, if you honor your parents, you'll probably live longer and live better lives in the land. That was the promise. That was the consequence. That does not apply to us because we're not the Jewish nation and we're not going into the promised land, but there was certainly a consequence associated with it. But now if you would turn with me to Ephesians 2, I want you to see the New Testament counterpart to this, to see that there are consequences. Ephesians chapter 6, did I say 2? I meant 6. Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse number 2. As we look at the consequences of honoring mom and dad, Paul in Ephesians 5 and part of Ephesians 6 talks a lot about relationships, about husbands and wives, about workers and employees, but he also talks about family relationships. And in verse 2, he says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." So there's a consequence, there's a positive there as far as the way that what happens to us when we honor our parents. But I want to pause for just a moment, because if you're a student of the Word of God, I think it's important to think about this particular passage, these two verses, because in it, it says that if someone will honor their father and mother, their life will go well and it will be long. But does that always come true? No, it doesn't. There are some dishonoring kids who live way too long. Wait. And there are some honoring kids or even honoring adults who don't live long lives. There are some dishonoring kids who grow up to have really nice cars and maybe have some stuff. And then there's some honoring kids who don't have a whole lot. But I want you to think about the consequences with this statement. The promise of word number 5 is a general rule based on a biblical principle, not an absolute law without exceptions. That's a way to understand what's being said here in Ephesians chapter 6. It's based on a biblical principle, but not an absolute law. So the biblical principle is this. If we honor our parents, for the most part, will we have a better life according to God? Yes. Do kids and adults who tend to honor their parents tend to live a longer life? For the most part, yes. Because we'll talk about these other consequences that can lead to the other things. So it's a general principle, but not an absolute law without exceptions. But that doesn't negate the consequences. Let me give you some examples of some dishonoring consequences and honoring consequences. I think it's important as we teach this because, remember, I don't just want to warn, we want to motivate. And since this applies to every person in this room, it's not just for the kids. We should be thinking about what's connected to word number 5. So, dishonoring brings, number 1, the consequence of a potentially shortened life. A potentially shortened life. If a young person or even an adult decides to live a dishonoring life to their parents, it tends to play out in choices that don't please God and ultimately become pretty risky and can lead to a shortened life. It's just the way it works. Now, there's a verse associated with this particular consequence. Do not share this verse, please, with a young child at night right before you pray with them, just to kind of drive the point across, because it's pretty heavy. Here's what it is. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. if someone curses their father and mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. You're like, where is that? Well, oh, it's in the Bible. Some of you are like, oh, wow. Family devotions for a week. Okay. Yeah, five-year-old Johnny doesn't need to hear that right away because he's going to ask you, what does snuffed out in pitch darkness mean? He's going to say, does that mean you turn the light off and don't leave the nightlight on? No, Johnny. No, Johnny. If you dishonor us on a regular basis, no more Johnny. But here's the point. It is a biblical principle. It is a consequence, a potential consequence of dishonoring parents that you have a shortened life. Here's another example of dishonoring and the consequences. Dishonoring can bring relational, spiritual, and national consequences. And I know some of you will be saying, well, Pastor Jay, why are you talking about consequences today? Because if any place should be aware of this, it should be the church. And if anybody should be aware of the consequences and react based on those, it should be the people of God. Because our secular society is not really big on consequences. So we need to be aware of that. Aware of these consequences. And dishonoring doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's unbiblical to say as a child or a teenager, well, when I disobey my parents, it's just between them and me. It doesn't really affect anybody else. It's absolutely not true. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. It has an effect on other people. So you look at these different categories. There are relational consequences. It's been said, if you can't get along with your family, then you are going to have problems getting along with other people in society. That's a consequence of dishonoring your parents. I think it's really true that kids that dishonor their parents tend to struggle with honoring their teachers, their coaches, their bosses, law enforcement. They struggle with that. In my almost 30 years of coaching soccer, those kids on the team that usually were the most teachable, listened the best, responded to pushback a little bit, 9 times out of 10, these were kids who also were trying to honor their parents, even when it wasn't in a Christian setting. They were just respectful kids. And the ones that I butt heads with the most were the kids who were butting heads with their teachers, with their workers, were their bosses, their parents, whatever authority was in their life, they were butting heads with them. That's a consequence relationally of not honoring your parents. But there's also the spiritual category. The consequence of spiritually, what happens when we dishonor our parents. In Romans chapter 1, Paul describes a group of people who worship the creation more than the creator. That's not a good thing. That's flipped. They worship the creation more than creator. And as he describes the people who are worshiping the creation, he says they are sexual deviants. Actual word. They are boastful, evil, greedy, envious, murderers, full of strife, deceit, malice, boastful. Wow. And right smack in the middle of that list, they disobey their parents. I'm sure my mom showed me that verse. You're like, see where you are in this list? See the list that you're in? And I didn't get it back then, but I'm beginning to see there are spiritual consequences for dishonoring parents. There really are. Dishonoring kids tend to reject the gospel more, tend to drop out of church more. Dishonoring kids tend to reject God's gift of grace or live longer under his discipline. So is it serious business? Is it important business to honor parents? It absolutely is. So there are relational and spiritual, but there's also national consequences. Again, it's not in a vacuum. It's been said, show me a nation where there is disobedience to parents, and I will show you a nation whose foundations are crumbling. How would you characterize the United States of America as it relates to honoring parents? The foundations are crumbling a little bit. In Micah chapter 7, the prophet Micah, describing the people of Israel, the corporate people of Israel, said, "A son dishonors his father, a daughter rises up against his mother, enemies are members of his own household." I couldn't help but think about our situation in the United States, that we're allowing kids now to divorce their parents. "You're setting a curfew, I'm taking you to court." What? How old are you? 11. I think back to when I was 11. There was a court that I could appeal to. Mom had the gavel. I never won. She was like Pharaoh in the movie, The Ten Commandments. So let it be written, so let it be done. But the consequence is, it can disrupt a nation. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy that one of the indicators of last times or the end times is disobedience to parents. So there are national consequences. So this is serious stuff, folks. For young people and even for adults, as we talk about a little bit later, the way we honor our parents is serious stuff. Now remember, it's not just to warn, but it's also to provide motivation. There are also some positives. Turn with me, if you're not there, to Ephesians chapter 6 again. Ephesians chapter 6. We see that there are some negative consequences for dishonoring, but Ephesians chapter 6, reading from verses 2 and 3 again. "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." I do think there are positive blessings, consequences for honoring your parents. So for young people in here, even kids in here, don't give up on doing this. I know your parents are frustrating at times. Don't give up on this. There are positive things. Here's the first one. When you honor your parents, there is greater potential for success. This is seen biblically and sociologically, greater potential for success, because it's been shown that honoring kids, that means kids that honor their parents, tend to make better citizens, better workers, better spouses, and better parents. It's just true. It's just the way it works. Spiritually speaking, and even sociologically, that if you honor your parents on a regular basis, you'll be a better worker, a better citizen, a better parent yourself, and a better spouse. You'll be more successful. And that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to honor God, but along the way, that will bring you success. Now, I didn't say that honoring your parents will make you rich or that you'll have a bunch of stuff. Because you may or may not have those things. But if you honor your parents, you will be on the path to success. Number two, honor your parents will bring a life blessed from pleasing God. We call it the abundant life. If you want to experience the full blessing of God in your life, then honor mom and dad. A life blessed from pleasing God. This is a life, again, that's not equal sign to money or stuff, but it's just a life that's honoring God. It's blessed by God. I remember when I served as a youth pastor in a couple different churches for almost 15 years, that I would have to have this conversation with young people every once in a while, especially young people that were looking to maybe serve on a missions team or do some other serving in the church. But I knew as they were asking me about serving that they weren't honoring their parents. And they didn't see the connection. I said, "Listen, I know none of us are perfect, but we have to talk about the fact that when I see you interacting with your parents, you're very disrespectful. And that bleeds over to how God wants to use you on this missions trip. So we need to talk a little bit about how you're going to deal with this before you do this." And eventually, they would get it. Hey, it makes sense. It matches that God wants to bless my life. But that blessing also comes by the way I honor my parents. And then there's a third way that a consequence for honoring parents, a positive one. It can be a biblical example to encourage and challenge others. This is a positive thing. And this works not only as kids, but working your way up as you get older. If you are a teenager or a young person in this church and you're trying to honor your parents, don't let anybody give you a hard time about it. If other students are giving you a hard time about honoring your parents, you tell them to come see me. and we'll talk. Because you keep that up because that's a great example. That's a great example. It's an example as you grow older as well. I've seen this example in our church from different people and most recently with my wife. It was an example to me the way that she took care of her mom. It was a challenge to me too about maybe taking a little bit better care of my own mom. So when we do this, there is that good consequence. It is an example to encourage people and challenge people. I believe it can even be a testimony to those that don't know God, that don't know Christ, and they see you interacting, not with perfect people, but honoring your parents. And they see you do that, and they're like, what? What are you doing that for? Well, because I want to love and honor God who's blessed me with so much, and he's called me to honor my parents because they're the first people he's asked me to love. It can be a positive testimony. So word number five has consequences, both positive and negative. But here's something as we move quickly through this. As I was thinking about honoring our parents, there is a legitimate question to be answered. Are there limits to the honoring? Are there limits to the honoring? And the answer is yes, there are some limits biblically to honoring. But I want to give you some principles to help to guide those limits. If we think about word number five, Exodus 20 and verse 12, there's a principle found in this passage, in this verse, that provides the honoring limit. Here's what it is. A child is responsible to honor their parents regardless of whether they are worthy or unworthy of this honor. Because Exodus 20:12 makes it really clear that God has given the responsibility of honoring parents to the child, not the parent. And there's no stipulation that the parent has to be honorable at that moment to require the honor. You following me? The responsibility to honor is on the child to the parents that God has given to them. That's an honoring limit. But then, this comes to my mind, abuse, neglect, criminal activity. What do we do with that? These are the parents that have been given to this child or this adult child. How does this honoring limit apply? Well, as we think about what honoring means, honoring doesn't mean to always agree or condone the actions of a parent. It does not mean that. So there still are some limits. But it doesn't mean that we have to dishonor them simply because they are doing something that's dishonorable. I also want you to note this, that honoring your parent doesn't remove the legal, ethical, and moral rights of a child. They're not removed. Honor doesn't erase those. And should we help to protect children? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm not saying this would ever be easy, but I am saying it would be powerful. If a child or even a young adult who is a follower of Christ is in a situation where their parents are less than honorable, but they choose to rise above it and honor their parents, what a powerful picture of grace. Not condoning it, not looking the other way, but what a powerful picture of grace, because my Bible says that I didn't deserve God's grace. And that while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. And so, is there a way to honor parents with limits? Yes. There's also another principle that's found in Acts 5:29 as far as honoring limits. Peter and John were preaching the name of Jesus. They were arrested and brought in and said, "Stop talking about Jesus." And they said, "No." And then they said a little bit more. This is what they said. "We must obey God rather than human beings." How does this apply to honoring your parents and the limits that are there? Here's how it applies. God's authority supersedes any authority directing us to disobey God or the Bible. So, if a parent was to tell a child to do something immoral, unethical, unbiblical, they do not have to do it. Sorry, kids, making your bed, taking out the trash, none of those things are immoral, unethical, or you know what I'm saying. But if that was to be the case, and you say, Does that ever really happen? Yeah, I can see it happening. I can even see it happening in the church. You're an older adult, and you have older parents who are aging, and you're taking care of them a little better. You're helping them out, and your parents want you to do something for them financially that's unethical. It's basically against the law, but they want you to do something to help them out. What do? You honor them by saying no. Yes? Yes. So there are some limits. So word number 5 has consequences and it has limits. But what does it look like today? What does it look like today to live out word number 5? I think when we think about word number 5 in a church setting, we think about it in too narrow of a way. What we think about initially and almost primarily is kids. We think about that unruly kid in Wegmans that you so desperately wanted to give a piece of your mind to. Or you think of that teenager whose choices are running blatantly in the face of their parents. And so, we think too narrowly because that's what we think about. But honoring in the Bible, honoring in both the Old Testament and New Testament, is not time sensitive. Honoring your parents is for a lifetime. It's for a lifetime. So it applies to everybody in this room in one way or another. So I want to end by quickly talking about a few seasons of life. What does honoring parents look like in different seasons of life? You ready for this? Oh, we're turning the corner here. You ready? Okay, again, thank you, Rex. You're the only ones who agree with me. Good. The first season of life is kids honoring parents. Kids honoring parents. So what does that look like? Let me give you some examples. A bunch of parents called me, told me I had to conclude this one, so I did. Obedience. They didn't really do that, but it's obvious in the scripture. So one of the ways you honor your parents is through obedience. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So you could also say, children, everything that pleases the Lord, and that way obey your parents. So how do we do this? How do we honor our parents? Kids, how do you honor your parents through obedience? Well, I'm going to give them 3 words. You can plug your ears while I give them the 3 words because they're going to write them down. You don't want to hear them. Here are the 3 words for obedience. Ready? Parents, you want to write them down? 3 words. Timing. Kids are looking for a little bit better timing. They don't want to have to count to 5 or 50. Could you go pick that up? After I'm done with level 47, I would like you to go pick that up right now. I've always wanted to do this, but I haven't because I think it'll get me in trouble. When I've been in a grocery store and heard a parent counting, I wanted to go and count with them. Because what happens is, and I did this as a parent as well, as you got closer to the end number, you would slow down because you got embarrassed because they weren't doing anything. And I want to count with them because I want to keep going the same pace and see what happens. I'm not going to do that because you'll probably find me in the paper and that's not a good thing. All right? So timing. You want to honor your parents through timing. The second thing is through attitude. When they ask you to take out the garbage, they're not asking you to kick it all the way down the driveway. But it's one of those glad flex bags. It'll be okay. Now, you know, the neighbors are watching. Oh, it must be time for them to do chores again today. That's not honoring. And then the third word is going to sound really strange. I have to explain it, is execution. It's about how you do it. It's not just the attitude, but how you do it. The idea is you're given something to do by your parent, and you do it well. Maybe they ask you to clean your room. We're talking practical stuff today. Wait, we just changed piles. How about we clean our room and execute it well? Would that show honor? Parents, would you be impressed if they executed the task well? Yes, you would. Thank you very much. All right, and so we're going to obey. That's one way to honor our parents. A second way is through our speech. Our speech. You honor your parents by the way you talk to them and about them. This crosses the line from just kids to even adults. Pam and I are living these kind of things. I have to be careful. We have to be careful about how we talk about our parents. Kids, you need to do the same thing. The way you talk to them and about them. You are not going to get a sympathetic ear if you come to myself or Pastor Rex and all you want to do is bash your parents. Not going to get a sympathetic ear. I love this quote. Don't use the sharpness of your tongue on the mother who taught you how to speak. Don't use the sharpness of your tongue on the mother who taught you how to speak. So you honor through your speech. You also honor through listening. Proverbs 1:8, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Listening. Listening in the Bible is not just hearing the words. It's actually giving credit to the person who's talking. Charlie Brown would say he was listening to his teacher, but not really. Blah, 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 blah. You honor your parents when you listen to them in such a way that you're actually trying to gain something. That's showing honor. And then one final way, I know there's others, but I want to move on. Kids can honor their parents through gratitude. Gratitude. The Bible says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord for he is good. We have no problem with that, right? We love that verse. God is good. Can I just give you Jay's translation? Give thanks for your parents, for they have been good to you. And their love keeps going and going. That was my translation. Give thanks to the Lord for your parents, for they have been good to you on a regular basis. I have never, ever encountered a parent who said to me, here's my number one problem in my home. My kids say thank you too much. I just need you to talk to them. They're just overwhelming me with thank you for laundry. Thank you for meals. Thank you for providing. Thank you for the rides. Thank you for this. You got to stop them. I'm just sick of it. You honor your parents when you show gratitude, even as you're older. Would it be wrong for me to tell my mom thank you for all the ways you've invested in my life? No, that's okay. So kids honoring parents. Here's another season of life. Adults honoring older or aging parents. That's in the Bible as well. As a matter of fact, I would say that as you move from kids honoring parents to adults honoring their older parents, it gets more challenging at times, and it's also a little bit more serious in the Bible. Here's one way that you can honor your parents if you're an older adult. You honor them by who you marry. You honor them by who you marry. Right from the start here, clear disclaimer. If you're already married, it's a done deal. Please don't come up to me afterwards and go, well, my mother-in-law doesn't like me. Should I opt out? No. But it is true and it's biblical that you honor your parents. If you're thinking eventually about getting married, you honor your parents by who you marry. Think about the example of Samson in Judges 14. Let me read some verses to you. Samson, a Jew, went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I've seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. It's in the Bible. His father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? Samson, why are you going to dishonor us by choosing a Philistine wife? You're a Jew. You kind of know the traditions of our family, and you know the gods that this woman and her family worship. Why would you do this to us? And Samson, in his sensitivity, answered the father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. You honor your parents by who you marry. Think about it. Here's another way that we honor our parents. We honor our parents with our lifestyle. You honor them with your lifestyle. This is much more than young kids or teenagers or young adults. This year, I turned the speed limit. at least the one I follow. Some of you have your own speed limit. I turned the speed limit this year, 55. And my mom is 77. I still have a responsibility to honor my mom with my lifestyle. With my lifestyle. It says in Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the mother who bore him. Hey, Pastor Jay, but my parents are still alive, but I'm 65. I can do whatever I want. You can, but you may not be honoring them. I'm not saying you're following their rules of the house. I'm saying about your lifestyle, whether it pleases God, because that brings honor or dishonor to them. There is such a powerful example of this in the Bible. It's actually basically R-rated. Because David had a son named Absalom. And Absalom wanted to be king, but David was king, and it wasn't Absalom's time. And Absalom said, fine, I'll do it my way. And Absalom was an adult. And so he rebelled against David and kicked David out of the palace in shame, sent him down the road, and Absalom moved into the palace, dishonoring David. And then it says, shortly after he moved into the palace, he took some of David's harem, some of his women, and took them to the top of the palace in plain view and had sex with them so everybody could see. His lifestyle dishonored his father. I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to continue to honor your parents with your lifestyle. It doesn't end when you leave high school or leave college. Here's another way to honor your parents. Connect with them regularly. I'd like to say my mom made me put that in, but I read it through someplace else. Connect with them regularly. Is it okay to call them? Send them a card? Yes. My mom and I have the same phone conversation time frame. I don't talk long on the phone. And whenever I call my mom, I can. It's like clockwork. It's like 40 to 50 seconds where she'll just say, okay, got to go. I'm thinking, where are you going? You don't drive. And even if I'm not done with the conversation, 40 to 50 seconds, hey, thanks for calling. And I used to feel guilty about that. But then I talked to my sister and I said, hey, mom cuts me off like at 40 seconds. Is that a problem? She goes, no, all she wants you to do is just call her every once in a while. 40 seconds. I don't do it often enough. I need to. Is that showing honor? Yes, I have one mom. I should call her every once in a while. And my mom, bless her heart, she wouldn't know what a Facebook was. She has no idea. Instagram, no clue. Emails, not entering the house. Internet access, not available. Computer, So how do we try to honor her? We send her these things called pictures. Physical pictures. That's a lot of work. You have to download them from your phone to sometimes a USB and go to a store or even online, and then you got to go pick them up or have them shipped to you, and then you have to look through them and crop them and all the, and you do that, and you have to physically put them in an envelope. Like, mom, I got to send it to you like 5 days ago. But she doesn't do that. Am I going to wait for her to catch up with Instagram? It ain't happening, folks. But is it an honor to send her some pictures of her granddaughter? Yes. Connect with them regularly. And then one final way that adults can honor their parents is to care and provide for them. Care and provide for them. This is really hard. This is really hard. And I'm not saying it's hard because of the parents themselves, although sometimes that is a challenge. Listen, we're trying to get practical here. Word number 5 for us today. Adults honoring their parents. This is hard. Can I give you some of the words that come to my mind? It's frustrating. It's emotional. It's time consuming. It's costly. It's just hard sometimes. But we have to do it. We're called to do it. I think it's one of the number one reasons why family members fight. Because they have to figure out how do they take care of the parents. But if you're one of the chosen few that are called by God in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are bound and released to word number five. Jesus took this very seriously. We don't have time to read the passage, but in Mark chapter 7, Jesus rebukes the religious people. Us. He rebukes the religious people because there was a tradition that they came up with. The people, the Jewish people of that time, they typically would set aside money to take care of their aging parents. And the Pharisees came up with a tradition that if you gave that money to the temple or the synagogue and you called it Corban, C-O-R-B-A-N, that meant devoted to God. If you gave that money to the synagogue, you were off the hook with taking care of your parents because you didn't have any money. But then Jesus really let the Pharisees have it because that same money that was given to the synagogue and the temple was the same pool of resources that the Pharisees became rich from. So these people were not only off the hook and taking care of their parents, but now the Pharisees got richer because they gave that money and said, Corban, I am not allowed. I would be rebuked by Jesus if I said for my mom or for my father-in-law or my stepdad, Corban! No. I have a responsibility to provide for them. It's even stronger in 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you can find that, Carolyn, again, I know you're going to have to. 1 Timothy chapter 5, excuse me, in verse 4. If a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repairing their parents and grandparents. Who's it on? Pam and I. If we, as much as we can, we're to provide and take care of our parents. That's how we honor them. Do I know all the answers? Absolutely not. If you know all the answers, please, I'm going to have lunch with you several times this week. But just because it's not easy, just because we don't have it figured out, it doesn't mean we're not supposed to do it. Honor your parents. Honor them by the way you provide and care for them. I read this statement, love your parents and treat them with loving care, for you will only know their value when you see the empty chair. And on a little bit lighter note, they didn't leave you when you were young. You shouldn't leave them when they're old. Easy? Absolutely not. Frustrating? Absolutely at times. Which leads to the final category of people. I call these people, and some of you in this room are these people, or you will become these people. I call you the honorees. You're the recipients of the honor, either now or in the future. I just have three words for you as honorees. Accept the help. Could you work with us just a little bit? It's hard. It's frustrating. It's emotional. It's time-consuming. And we have quirks, and you have quirks, but if you could just cut us some slack sometime and accept the help. And I know a lot of you in this room, and I'm just being really honest with you. Some of you in this room, when you become honorees, are going to be really hard to work with. I'm going to be probably that person. I can still do it. I can still do this and that, and I'm seeing everything fine, and I can still drive. And I'm only laughing because I've walked through these things, so it's not like I'm making light of it. I know these are hard decisions, but listen, you got to be willing to accept the help. If for this reason alone, if I refuse to accept the biblical and kind and supportive help of my children, I'm forbidding them and hindering them from obeying word number five. Now, I'm not sure we always will agree, but I'm actually hindering them from a blessing of following word number five. We've been long today, but you've been great. Loving people starts with word number five, honor mom and dad. Why? Because people, like our parents, are the first people we're to love. Parents are the first people to love. And honoring God flows right into honoring our parents. And what that means is this. They deserve this honor. And how long does it last? A lifetime. Until either they're gone or you're gone. It lasts a lifetime. So let's begin the words of loving people by honoring mom and dad. Why don't you stand with me as Rex closes us in prayer?